Let's read Luke 11:28 together. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You may be seated.
You can open in God's word this morning to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 7 through 14 together. And as you're turning there, you may want to take out the notes that you received when you came in. I hope you got a handout. And all of the passages we're going to look at today will be on that handout. Do you remember back when you were invited to your first party? Do you remember? Maybe you got an invitation like the one behind me. Did you get an invitation like this at some point? You were invited to the first birthday party ever that you got to go to. And you remember how thankful you were? Remember how grateful? Remember how happy and excited you were that you would get to go to this party? Do you think the reason why is because you were created to celebrate? Have you ever thought about that? You were created to celebrate. You were created to enjoy things. You were created, this may sound weird, to party. And I think we're reminded of that the first time we receive one of those invitations. But it doesn't take long in this life, in this fallen world that we live in, for those parties and celebrations to be distorted. Now, I know everybody in this room is now sanctified and holy and mature and godly and following Christ, but I also know that some of you have been to some of the parties and celebrations that were not characterized by holiness and righteousness and Christ-likeness, were you? I know I've been to some of those parties. And so what is it about growing up and living in this world from the first moments of being invited to a party until how that can be distorted and can be manipulated and can become one of the darkest and most sinful places that we go to? And so this morning, I want us to talk about learning how to celebrate and party God's way, because I think that's what Jesus is talking about in Luke chapter 14 and verse 7 through 14, learning to celebrate and party God's way. Now, it might surprise you. I'm going to warn you up front. And you may have to start thinking differently about celebrations and parties and dinners and banquets and weddings and feasts and eating and drinking. But we will all be served for the better if we would, in fact, learn to celebrate and party God's way. So would you stand with me as we read God's word together and allow it to instruct us, to inform us, to encourage us, and to change us. And before we even read it, would you pray with me once more? Father, open our eyes to wonderful things from your word. Teach us, we pray, to celebrate you, to enjoy you. Teach us to, God, to enjoy all of your good gifts and deepen our hope for your second coming. Deepen our hope for the great wedding feast that you've invited us to, that you've prepared a place for us at the table with you, Lord Jesus. And God, make us together more thankful, more loving, more merciful, more honoring towards others. God, teach us humility to an even greater degree this morning. And if there's any ounce of pride in our hearts and our minds, would you eradicate it? Would you cleanse it? Would you purify it? God, teach us humility. Teach us gratitude. Teach us sincere, sacrificial love in a way that's beyond our own abilities. Would you do a miracle in our hearts, Lord? We are naturally, by nature, in and of ourselves, selfish. Even in the good things that we do often, God, we do them from impure motives, imperfect motives. Would you cleanse and transform and renew and even uncover and awaken areas in our hearts and lives that we haven't seen or know yet? And so, Jesus, we joyfully put ourselves under your authority and your truth. And so, do what only you can, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 7 of Luke 14. Now Jesus told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus said also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. You can be seated. Now, if you remember the context of this passage today, as we saw last week, remember Jesus was invited to a party, to a celebration by one of the Pharisees. In fact, it was one of the rulers of the Pharisees, one of the high-ranking religious leaders of his day. And if you remember last week, Jesus was invited because they wanted to catch him so that they could eventually kill him, because they wanted him silenced. Because the more that Jesus talked and the more that he taught, the more honor and glory and fame was taken away from them. Because the people wanted to hear Jesus as rabbi, Jesus as teacher, Jesus as religious leader. And they didn't like that, because they were in that position not in order to love God and to serve people. They were in that position for selfish reasons and motives. And oftentimes the people themselves did not even notice that about their own religious leaders, which is why they followed them. But Jesus has an uncanny way of getting to the heart of the matter, of getting to the heart of people. He can cut past all the veneer, all the external that we can so often hide behind, and he can find out what's really underneath the surface. And this morning you see that he does it so often through parables, through stories. And so, after healing this man, like we saw last week with dropsy, and we talked about this, dropsy was a condition in which fluids would build up in your body. And so this man was there in the gathering, and he comes in with dropsy and in excruciating pain, I'm sure, and shame, and Jesus miraculously, supernaturally heals him on the spot. And he rebukes the Pharisees for their elevating a misinterpretation of Scripture and a misinterpretation of the law in saying that you can't heal on the Sabbath. They elevated their misinterpretation of the law to the neglect of mercy and compassion and kindness and love towards this man. And so Jesus silenced them in that moment by demonstrating that if you're going to heal a man, and you're going to show him mercy like you would your own animal on the Sabbath or your own child who falls into a well, then how much more so other acts of mercy and kindness? And then he launches into this particular parable and this particular story about an invitation. And it's an invitation that Jesus says is a wedding feast invitation. You ever gotten one of these in the mail? You're invited to the wedding of this person and that person on this particular day. And it's going to be a time of celebration. And following the wedding, there's going to be a feast. There's going to be a banquet. Now, in our day and time, sometimes those wedding feasts and banquets to follow will last multiple hours. In the first century, they would last multiple days. In fact, in the first century, the best party and celebration that you could be invited to were the parties and celebrations that were a part of weddings. And so Jesus kind of heightens thing, and he says this. Suppose you were invited to a wedding feast. And as you can see, this wedding feast in the picture behind me, there's a place of honor. This is a royal type of wedding, isn't it? And you can see the table there with the white drape around it is the place of honor where the host would sit, or the queen or the king or the most respected person. In a wedding feast, it would be the couple who's getting married. And to their right and to their left would be the most honorable places to sit. And the closer you could sit to those who invited you, to those distinguished honorees, the more honor you would receive, right? And Jesus noticed that this little party, this little celebration, this little gathering that he was at, that all of the Pharisees and religious leaders, they were clamoring for places of honor. They wanted to sit in the best seats there. And so while they were observing him, he was observing them. And he noticed what was driving their hearts. You see, Jesus knew the Pharisees really well. You remember Matthew chapter 23? It's on your outline there at the very bottom. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus just cut to the heart of the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and this is what he said about them. He said, they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues. And they love greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But then Jesus says, you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. This is the kind of things that they loved, being called rabbi, being called father, being called instructor, oh great teacher. And they loved how that made them feel. They weren't concerned with God's honor and praise and glory. They were concerned with their own. This is why they love these titles. But Jesus says in verse 11, the greatest among you, my followers, shall be your servant. That's what true greatness is about. It's about serving. Verse 12, he says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, actually. But whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You see, Jesus is talking about something deeper than just an earthly wedding feast. And he's taking this scenario that they find themselves in, this party, and he uses it to teach deeper spiritual truths. And here it is. You ready? God sends you an invitation. And the invitation that God sends you is to his eternal celebration and party and wedding feast, where you are the bride and Jesus is the heavenly husband. And you can enjoy God and all of his good gifts forever and ever and celebrate his goodness and party with him forever. But not if you don't understand the proper response to that invitation. You see, these had been invited to this party, and they wanted to sit at the most distinguished seats. And Jesus says, you know what you should have done? You should have come in and sat in the lowest places. You should have been so overwhelmingly thankful that you had even been invited. How in the world could you get to go to this party? Go back with me to when you were in first grade. And you were just enamored by the fact that Doug Atkinson invited you to his birthday party. What? I mean, I get to go to Doug's birthday party? And yeah, Doug was up front, and he had the crown on his head, and his parents were celebrating him, but you weren't fighting necessarily to go sit by him. You were just initially just grateful, thankful, elated that you got to go to the party of our little man, Doug Atkinson. Can you picture Doug when he was little? No beard like that. All right? Little Doug. And so, when you understand the invitation to God's banquet, God's celebration, you should be so thankful and grateful that just any place in the room would be enough. But instead, they wanted to go to the highest seats because they wanted their own glory and honor and fame. And Jesus says, here's what's going to happen if you do that. What's going to happen is the host might invite someone who's more distinguished than you. And so you're sitting up there at the head of the table, but then the host is going to come to you and say, excuse me, could you move down to the lowest place because there's someone else who's here who's a higher rank than you are. And you're going to have to get up out of that seat. And there's going to be shame involved because everybody's going to be watching. And you're going to have to go to the lowest place, when if you would have just went to the low place to begin with, filled with thanksgiving just to be in the room, then the host would have come to you and said, friend, come here to a higher place. You know why? Because this is what God is looking for. Don't miss this. God is looking for the humble in heart. He's looking for the humble. He's looking for those who are just overwhelmed by his grace and mercy in the invitation. That they're just thankful. By the way, ungrateful, complaining, miserable people are prideful people. Oh God, help us not to be so arrogantly prideful that we forget your good gifts that are daily lavished upon us. You know, there's always something to complain about. There's always something to see that is imperfect in a fallen world. But when you see God and you see Christ and you see all of his good gifts, your heart will be filled with gratitude. That is, if your heart is humbled rightly. You see, here's the way that things work in God's kingdom. It's the opposite of this world. This world teaches you that the way to the best seats is by exalting yourself, by working your way up there. Well, in the kingdom of God, it's actually the opposite. If you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. But if you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. Think about it this way. This is an amazing verse. James chapter 5, it's on your outline. I'll tell you what's so amazing about this verse to me is verse 6 says, but he, that is God, gives, that is freely and graciously, more. That's the key word that amazes me because he's talking to Christians and he says, yes, you've been invited and yes, you have a banquet awaiting you and yes, you've been forgiven and set free and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and you have eternal life, but how could there be more? He says there's more grace. Don't you want more grace? God, give us more grace. And here's what he says. There's more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What if we just lived with a posture of humility and gratitude and thankfulness? What if we just lived not for our own honor, and this is really true humility, right? What if we live for God's honor? Because humility starts vertically. We don't want to live for our honor. And so I can be dishonored by someone and still be okay if I'm living for his honor. Because his honor is what I live for, not my own. And then I can do what Romans chapter 12 says. It's on your outline too. When I'm secure in living for God's honor and his glory, and I've really learned how to celebrate and party rightly, that all parties are God's parties, then I can do what Romans 12 and verse 10 says. I can love other people, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, love one another with brotherly affection. Not just actions, but affections. My heart can be moved, my feelings. And then he says this, outdo one another in showing honor. Now, this is amazing. Think about it in relationship to Jesus' parable. What if you were invited to a party and you didn't look for the place of honor? What if you wanted someone else to be in that place? I could sit there at the first seat, but I'd rather Mark Mills get that seat. Mark, I want to outdo Mark Mills in showing him honor. Well, not if I'm looking for my own honor. What if I'm outdoing? What if I'm looking? You want a real competition? One that's bigger than the high school baseball tournament that's going on right now? You want a bigger competition, the NBA Finals? You want a real competition? How about this? Compete to see how much you can love others. See if you can outlove other people, out-honor other people. What if you began to live for the honor and love of God and for the honor and love of other people? What if you begin to serve them and you got your mind off yourself? Which is what happens when you get in high school and you go to parties. You remember, right? Come on. Now, I'm not trying to diminish the high school students, but let's be honest, we've all been there. When you get into high school and you go to parties, you're not thinking about other people. You're thinking about yourself. How do I look in this party? Do I look pretty cool? What do they think about me? Can they see the zit on my nose? Can they see how much weight I've gained? Can they see this pretty dress I've got on? Can they see, like, when you go to party as a high school student, most people, I mean, I'm sure there's some high school students in here that are more mature than this. But when you go to parties, you're concerned with what people think about you, aren't you? Do you remember these days? Or have you forgotten so quickly? But what if you were just so free and secure in Christ, that whatever party and celebration you went in thinking, all right, how can I glorify God? How can I glorify God? How can I honor Brenda? Like, I'm not going to tell her that, but Brenda's here at the party. How can I honor her? How can I serve her? What if we changed the way that we thought? What if we learned from Jesus how to celebrate and party for real? What if we became Jesus party animals? Like the good kind of party animals. And that's what he's teaching. Look, here's this. You ready? First parable. Go thankful. Just be overwhelmed with the thankfulness in your heart towards God's good gifts. Second, go honoring God and honoring other people. And just look for ways to serve and bless other people. Just forget about you. And think about God and others. That's how you party and celebrate. And that's called humility. That's humility. And if you live that way, God will exalt you. I think this is what that means. He will exalt you. He will encourage you. You'll be so secure in him that what other people say and do to you won't affect you the same way. You'll be so secure in him. You'll be so happy, so strengthened that you can give more and love more and lay down your life more. And the darts of the enemy and other people who hate you, they'll just be extinguished by the shield of faith. And just positionally. I mean, who else would God put in positions of leadership? Who else would God put in positions? He's not going to put someone who's going to use that to abuse people and to hurt people and to misuse them. No way. I mean, you can work your way there on your own, but God's going to place people in positions of leadership that he chooses, that he sees who have humility of heart, who love him and who love people. And if God places you there, then you can serve in that role the right way. But then he shifts to talking not just to the audience of those who were invited, but the actual Pharisee and the ruler who invited everyone. And so he shifts the conversation in Luke chapter 14. And beginning in verse 12, you see, Jesus said also to the man who had invited him. So maybe it's not just parties that you get invited to. Maybe it's parties that you throw. All right, so Pastor Derek is giving you permission to throw parties. Wow. Zane, throw you a party soon in Zane's House of Pain. That's his workout facility at his house. All right? Like, you get to throw parties and celebrations, but it's going to be different maybe than what you expected and what you thought. He says this, if you really want to learn how to celebrate and party, you ready? Here's how. When you throw a party, don't invite your friends. Now, this is a hyperbolic statement, okay? This is a figure of speech that Jesus is using. You could translate it this way. You could say it this way. Don't just invite your friends. So, in other words, Jesus is not saying never invite your friends, never invite your relatives, never invite your brothers and sisters, never invite your neighbors, even if they have wealth. He's saying the assumption is you're going to do that, and we all do that. You know why? Even if you're the selfishest person in the world and you have a party, you're going to invite your friends. You know why? Because they add value to your life. They give you something. And so even sinners do that. Everybody invites their friends when they have a party. Why? Is it purely altruistic? No. Because the moment one of their friends upsets them or doesn't do what they want, you're not getting an invitation to my party. And it starts in elementary school, doesn't it? I'm going to have a party. But Becky is not going to come to my party because she stole my pizza in the lunchroom last week. And so everybody in the class is going to get invited but Becky. And so Becky's going to be there in the room. Everybody gets the invitation. She's like, where's my invitation? You stole my pizza. And then Becky starts crying. Oh, everybody is going, but I don't get to go. You know it happened. It happens all the time. Because the moment even our friends don't give us what we want, we don't invite them. Which shows you the shallowness of our hearts. It shows you who we really love, doesn't it? I mean, come on. We can say we love our relatives and our brothers and our rich neighbors, but come on. We learn pretty quickly in this life the principle of reciprocity, don't we? You've learned reciprocity? It's what the Pharisees and the religious leaders in the first century learned really well because they were really bright. And they learned how to work people and work situations. Here's what the principle of reciprocity looks like. Even the gorillas and the monkeys and the orangutans know it. So that's why I showed you the picture. Like the guy on the front's like, you scratch my back, and in a minute I'll scratch yours. That's how we live, isn't it? Like, I'll do something for you, okay? You can come to my party, but boy, when you have your party, I want my invitation too. I want some pizza and some ice cream and some like those little things that you blow, they go, phew, I want one of those too. And I want an honored place if I give you an honored place. Isn't that how it works? If you get to sit by me in my birthday party, then when you have a birthday party, I'm gonna sit up there with you and Chuck E. Cheese too. And Mickey Mouse on the other side, right? And if you have a big party and you get to go a Disney birthday, well, then you better one-up me. We're going to Paris for your birthday, and I'm going too. Right? Isn't this how it works? This is how the world works. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And the Pharisees, they learn how to work the system. And some of us have too. And we think that by inviting, I don't know, we think, I'm going to have a party, and I'm going to be so loving and kind, I'm going to invite one of my rich neighbors. Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates, I'd like for y'all to come to my party. I don't have any ulterior motives. But if you want to give me a computer later, you can. Or, I'm open if you want to buy me a car for my birthday. I mean, it's my birthday. You see how it works? This is how we tend to think as people. And you know what? It's kind of normal. God is saying, Jesus is saying, that's how things work. And there's, okay. But you want to really love like God loves? You want to really love? I mean, beyond selfish motivation at all. You really want that? Here's what you do. When you have a party, go find the poorest people that you can. They can do nothing for you in return. Just find the poorest people that you can and invite them. Because you know what? They're not going to be able to repay you. Or you know what you could do? If you really want to, we're learning to celebrate and we're learning to have parties. And I want to encourage you, have a party and a celebration like this in the next few weeks. Do it. Do it. And find the freedom and joy. You know, it's going to cost you something. It's going to be sacrificial. And if you're only concerned about yourself, you won't do it. And then you'll do it and complain about it afterwards. And once you start complaining, just know, God, please change that part of me. When you begin to love like this, and you get home and your blouse has a stain on it, and you're like, this blouse. God, forgive me for my selfishness and my sinful way of thinking that this blouse is worth more than those people who are made in your image. Like, that's part of growing and maturing. We all do it, and so it's just being honest about it. He says, when you throw a party, invite the poor, and then, you know what? Invite the crippled. Go find somebody who can do nothing for you. And by the way, if you invite her, it's going to be hard. You might have to pick her up. She might drool. You might have to clean up after her. You might have to give her a ride home. You might start learning about her needs in such a way that you can't sleep anymore, and you've got to change the way that you live. You can't just wake up and do your hair and look in the mirror and take a shower and live your life. No, you can't do that anymore. Because God is freeing you from, this is it, isn't it? He's freeing you from yourself. Life is terrible, life is miserable, all these people and this and that and this is that. Shh! It's time to party and celebrate. And it's time to do it God's way. And it'll cost you something. And then you go find some lame people. You go find some who are lame. And you invite them to your party. That's what Jesus said. What are you doing in this party? He's saying to the Pharisees. All you care about is yourself. You want a place of honor and recognition. It's sickening. You're not even thankful anymore. You've forgotten what I've done for you. You were spiritually crippled, and I invited you to my party, and you get to celebrate with me forever. How have you forgotten that? Why aren't you waking up each day saying, oh God, you are great. Oh God, thank you. I can't believe you've taken a sinful person like me and brought me into your family. Oh, God, thank you for your mercy. How could I not show mercy to others? How could I not? You go find the poor and the crippled and the lame, and you go find somebody who's blind. And it's going to be hard. And she's not going to be able to do anything for you in return. And that's good for you and me. You know why that's good for us? Because we need to start having faith parties. This is a faith party. You know why? You'll never do this unless you really believe that there's a resurrection of the just. Because if this is all there is, then have your parties with your friends and your rich neighbors, and have your parties with all of those who can scratch your back. Because if this is all there is, that's all you've got. But if you're going to die one day, and you're going to be raised one day, and there is an eternal reality, then if you have the parties that Jesus is calling for, you will be rewarded, but it won't be from the poor and the blind and the crippled and the lame. It will be by God. He will reward you in the resurrection of the just. And so this is a faith party. You've got to do it by faith. And when you're tired afterwards and your feet hurt and your brow is sweating and your hips are hurting, and you say, oh God, thank you for the reward that awaits me in heaven. Because Revelation chapter 20 says this, there is a great white throne, and seated on the great white throne is the Almighty, and he sees everything. And he is the judge, and he evaluates everything with perfect wisdom. And he knows the Pharisee's heart, and he knows my heart, and he knows your heart, even when you don't know it, and even when you misunderstand it. And he says, one day the gavel will come down, and I will evaluate everything in your life. And if you are in Christ, if you've accepted the invitation to Jesus, to trust in his perfect life and his death and his resurrection, and you'll be raised to life. And guess what? The degree of your reward is going to be dependent upon how you live. Heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, is for all of those who are in Christ. Oh, but every crippled and lame and blind and person that you love and serve, baby, how about this? Child in the nursery? We've had like the announcement for weeks. What an honor to serve babies in the nursery. They're never going to be able to do anything for you. They might even throw up on you. But we ought to have like a list of 1,000 people ready to serve and love people that won't be able to serve and love you in return. And on that morning that you wake up and it's your nursery day, oh, it's hard. Oh, but I'm ready. And there'll be a reward on that day. So, have you learned how to party yet? I wish I would have brought everybody a hat and one of those little blowy things. Learning to celebrate and party God's way is radically different from the way of this world. Oh, but what a privilege we have of participating, not only in his eternal kingdom, Christian, but also in the joys of serving him in this life. By the way, are you a follower of Christ? If not, today would be a wonderful day to begin to follow him. Just turn from your sin and your self-worship and worship Christ. Trust in him. Believe. And then begin to love and honor and be thankful and serve and give yourself to him and to others, which is a process for all of us. And Christian, as we sing this next song together, express your thanksgiving and gratitude to God. Even if you've been complaining all week, there's mercies that are new each morning. Just say, God, forgive me for complaining all week, and thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness. I'll be up front. Bobby and Sandra, will you join me up front to pray for anybody? Seth, you can go ahead and come forward. So, Butch and Pam, would you guys come up too? If you'd like for us to pray for you in any way about anything that the Lord's doing in your life and heart, of course, you can pray where you're at. You can write down a prayer request on the response cards that way, And we would love to pray for you this week, but would you stand with me? And whether it's just singing with gratitude and thanksgiving, expressing your love, whether it's even praying, God, show me who to invite to this party that I'm going to have soon, or whether it's having us pray for you in some way, whether it's coming to Christ, maybe today you'd say, I'm ready. I want to come to Christ today, and I want to be baptized next week. I don't want to wait. I want to be baptized next week. I want to identify with Christ publicly, and we'd love to talk with you about that, okay? So, Seth, would you lead us in song?